Ken and Capital. Ken and Capital. Ken and Capital.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Ken and Capital with your hosts, Chris, Alexis, Christian, and Mike. And today we are going to be discussing things, everything about confidence and doubt within the marketplace. But before we get into the topic, I kind of want to just, you know, throw it out there, see how everybody's week's been doing. I know it's been a little bit since we met, so I'll kick it off. Had a really busy week at work, a lot of meetings. I had to facilitate a lunch and learn for a lot of up-and-coming leaders at within IT for my organization. So that was a little nerve-wracking for me, right? Yep. Just kind of stepping out my comfort zone a little bit. But once I got into it, it was fun. It was easy. Yep. I did all that. I was worrying and nervous and couldn't sleep. And when I got into it, it was fun. Like, the panelists were awesome. They made made me feel comfortable. So it was good. So what about you guys? How was your weekend?
Go ahead, Alexis. I'm coming off a really long one. I'm going to need some time to kind of digest it mentally still before I can tell you exactly how it went. Just know it was chaotic, but I will be okay. I will survive this.
Now, mine, as far as work goes, just had a lot of stuff at work, long days, getting into the summertime, so stuff's just picking up at work. But I mean, at home, I wouldn't say I fell off on like some of the project stuff I was doing, but I definitely slowed down and just like with my stories, I focused on the writing part instead of actually drawing and just doing lighter stuff this week. So I'm gonna have to kind of figure out my schedule a little bit better just going into the summertime, because obviously I still gotta, I'm wearing a lot of hats with the wife being pregnant and stuff. She, you know, helping with cooking and different stuff like that. So I'm like, okay, I can't kill myself here. I'm trying to remember what I was saying. Oh yeah,
getting your schedule and
getting my schedule together, because you know, I'm wearing a lot of hats with helping the wife and stuff like that with the kids and stuff, and she's pregnant and been down and out a little bit with morning sickness or day sickness or whatever it is with her. She gets it pretty bad, but. That's part of it. Just got to reel things in and adjust. Sometimes stuff ain't going to be the same all the time. So,
yeah, my week was pretty busy. I fasted Monday for spiritual reasons. And then Thursday, well, let's just say I did not have the best health for most of the week. I was kind of having stomach issues, so that kind of took me out. We celebrated my son's birthday Thursday. Going out of town, we went to Newport. To the aquarium there. That was a really good time.
So how was that?
Everyone had a great time. Yeah, nice. Saw some beautiful, you know, marine animals and fish and stuff like that. And we had been there before when he was two, but he fell asleep through the whole thing. And it's a schedule thing where you have a time window. And that's it.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was great. Far as like, this was like a vacation week, so nothing got done because nothing's supposed to be done on vacation.
Right.
That's how you do it.
But yeah. But prior to the week, though, because it's been a minute, I got like the statement of works and some of the contract stuff finished up with the client that I'm working with right now for some cybersecurity related projects and consulting work. So
good stuff.
Got that out the way at least.
Nice. Nice. I think in one of our, well, it's probably something we should discuss in one of our later episodes, to discuss the importance of kind of just stepping away from everything.
Yeah.
Like you said, you had vacation week, went to go to the aquarium with your family and things like that. We need that to kind of separate ourselves from our day to day, because it can get stressful.
Yeah.
And we need to kind of recharge ourselves and be ready to go. You know what I'm saying?
I'm bad at that.
Yeah.
I'm really bad at that, to the point where, and maybe I shouldn't talk too heavy on it, but I've had anxiety attacks before. I don't know if that's hereditary, because remember, my dad has anxiety attacks.
Yeah, I think what it is a lot of times, like, because, you know, they always talk about good stress, bad stress. And sometimes you're thinking that the good stress is good because you're being busy and stuff, like kind of what we were talking about in the last episode of like being busy and stuff like that. But like, you know, we mentioned, like, you got to recognize when you're doing too much. Like we said, like, if you're on a project and you go 6 hours without eating,
that's
not good.
Exactly.
You might see that as being productive and getting things done and not losing, you know, that focus and concentration on what is, you know, whatever you're working on. Yeah. But You got to think about what you're.
It's a little better than it used to be back in the day, though, because I know I used to do that just playing video games 8 hours.
Well, I
now
used to
I do
it
the
with
same thing
snacks.
With work. Yeah.
I'd have a bowl of cereal.
Like, better. Exactly.
In between matches or something.
Pop-Tarts and yeah.
That's hilarious. It's like you just channeled it from, like you see, just 8 hours a day playing video games.
Another,
and now you
yeah.
just, yeah, took that and just put it into your.
Well, the workforce does that to you, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you probably had a job where there wasn't a planned or scheduled lunch break.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, it's yeah. probably put on yourself. Oh, and yeah. because it was probably like a project related thing, you probably was like, well, I'm going to just get this thing done. It didn't take my lunch
yeah.
break.
Yeah. A lot of times, too, with my job, I know that in school and stuff, it's considered a learning disorder. And maybe it is. I try not to look at it like that. I try to stay positive. But I do learn. It's a little bit harder for me to learn stuff. So sometimes I work through my lunch breaks if I'm preparing mm-hmm. for like a sales presentation or something like that.
Yeah.
Because some people just get it like that. I'm like, no, I need this extra time to look up this and look up that. And you know what I'm saying? Just make sure I got it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'll skip lunches. But I'm getting better. I know Francis is getting on my head about packing lunch and different stuff like that. Because some days by the time I get home, like, yo, it hits you. And it's like, yo, I'm starving. I ate nothing since yeah. I left this morning.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm trying to get better with that. But I like to make sure I hate going into presentations or something where you got to talk to somebody about something specific
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a clue what I'm, because work will, they'll do that to you too. They'll throw you into something like last minute. Oh, hey, by the way, this, you know, this is going on today. And it's like, yeah. It's like, okay, well, let me get some time to prepare. Cause I don't know about y'all. I'm like, I don't work like that. I can't just come off the top of the dome and just wing it. I don't like winging stuff.
Yeah. Like sales stuff? Like,
yeah. Just like little presentation stuff. Like if I'm going to a commercial building or something and doing like an estimate and talking to them about how we do.
You want to be prepared.
I want to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's common though.
Yeah.
It's very common. And yeah. it's interesting you kind of bring that topic up about doing that example, because that kind of goes into our topic a little bit about, you know, what does it mean to have confidence in the marketplace or your place of business, right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to have a open conversation about that. You already used your example, but how important it is for whatever you're tasked with or whatever you have to do in your day-to-day at work, mm-hmm. you have to have confidence in what you're doing,
exactly.
right? A lot of things, like you mentioned, if you're not prepared, then doubt kind of...
It affects it.
It affects sure. it, and doubt kind of sneaks in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You start having doubt like, oh, man, I'm not prepared as yeah. I should be.
Yeah.
Am I going to be able to hit home on this sale?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to be able to present this presentation to
yeah.
senior leaders? Are they going to be able to believe what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So I think, like, for me, the example I used earlier about me doing the lunch and learn, it was more of a panelist style thing. So I was really just asking questions, but it was in front of people I wasn't familiar with,
sure.
even though it was through a Zoom or mm-hmm. a Teams meeting or whatnot, but still my face is on blast with these panelists.
Yeah.
But just having that confidence to be able to step outside the box, speak about what you know, being prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of getting to a little bit of the topic we discussed was there's a management program to my place of business where I work. And I went through the program in order to get into leadership. Right.
Yeah.
So I was kind of prepared because I already knew what to talk about.
Yeah.
Already had relationships built with the person who put together the program. And also, you know, just current and past people who went through the program, I had relationships with them as well. So I knew the questions to ask. Already had a rapport with them, so that made it easy. So I had that confidence, but the doubt came in, was just speaking to a larger audience about
mm-hmm.
what that management program was and just me and being nervous about that. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to throw it out on the table, have a conversation. What does confidence mean to you all?
How large was that audience?
It's funny. So the invite was sent out to around like 120, 40. And this particular lunch and learn session we did. Now, granted, I'm new to this community.
Yeah.
And okay. and I'm brand new, my first time speaking, and we had the largest viewership.
That's wild.
During, and it was, and we only got like 41 people that logged in and watched,
yeah.
right? But that was the largest one to date that they've done, the largest viewership. So, yeah, I just had that. But like I said, I had to have that. I had to know what I was talking about. One, I felt prepared, so that's where I felt confident enough to where okay. I know what I'm talking about. I can get in front of people and I can talk about this because I went through it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I also kind of practiced the questions I was going to ask before. Practice, man.
Oh, yeah.
You can't say it
it's
enough.
Essential for sure.
But yeah, just throwing it out there. Like, what does confidence mean to you all?
I mean, similar to what you were talking about, being prepared definitely helps. If you're not prepared for something, I feel like I don't care who you are. It's going to affect your confidence a little bit. if you don't know, if you're going into like a big contract or a big talking in front of a big group of people. But even then, when you do know it, because like you said, you knew what you were talking about because you've done it before. Sometimes it'll still seep in and something will tell you, oh, you're going to, you know, whatever, you're going to mess up or whatever the case may be. But sometimes you got to almost brainwash yourself. Like, I got this. I've done this before. I know how to do this. I've done this plenty of times. I just, you know, just go at it. A lot of times that's what it is. We've talked a lot about just in general, you always run into situations where excuse me, the enemy tries to trip you up and get your focus off what you're supposed to be doing. It's like, I've already done this. I've done this plenty of times. Why am I scared this time? Like, yep. You know, I'm sweating this time, yep. But it's the same situation you've already been in. So you just have to just stay at it. It doesn't really get easier. You get better at it, but you might still be a little bit nervous. But sometimes I feel like even just in any situation, you just got to do it. Confidence, I think, is built by just doing it. If you shy away from it, you run away from it, it's just, you're never going to get better at it. You at least want to improve the skill. Maybe you will feel, I mean, I'm an introvert. I've been in sales for a long time. I still get a little nervous. I just don't focus on it. And I sometimes almost even trick myself, if that's the right word, to make myself believe I'm not nervous, mm-hmm. But it works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of like, for instance, I hate doing, I'm losing the term right now. I hate doing mock-up calls. I hate it. That's worse than cold calls to me. I don't know why. It just feels worse when you're with a colleague.
What is that again?
Like a mock-up call, like pretending like you're doing a cold call. Oh, or pretending like you're doing, it's not real. Or pretending like you're doing a presentation and you do it in front of your manager or something like that. I don't know why that's worse, but it is.
I feel the same way.
It is worse.
Like doing mock interviews. Let's just say you're trying to prepare for a new role within a company, your current company, and you want to get some practice in, you mock
with the coworker or something.
Or even with your wife. Man, I did a, so the management program I'm talking about, we had to put together a 10-minute presentation where we talk about ourselves, why we want to get a leadership, things like that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be prepared, of course. So I did a mock interview with my previous manager at the time, some people who went through the program, and my wife. Mm-hmm. I was more nervous doing the mock interview with my wife than I even mm-hmm. was with people. I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's this straight up.
I don't know what it is about practicing it. It's I got more nervous practicing than when I actually had to
just do it.
It's so weird. I don't know what that
is. I'm the same way. Maybe it's just us two then, because it is nerve wracking to me too. Like even it, like they'll call us out at work and we'll do practice in front of a group, and he always calls me up. And I just got to convince myself, I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's do it. And I just do it, but I feel myself, if it's a little more nervous, I'm like, I do this in front of customers all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know, maybe because you think your boss is judging, he's going to chop you up, eat you up, whatever.
Well, that's a part of, that kind of falls into a little bit of social anxiety. And I had to kind of realize, and that's actually one of the topic points that when kind of recognizing when you start feeling that doubt. But the first step for me was kind of just admitting and recognizing that I have social anxiety in mm-hmm. certain situations. And a part of social anxiety is you're worried about what others think about you, right? You think people are going to judge you. You're Harrison, not saying, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's stumbling, fumbling over his words. Oh, he's got a sweat beat going down his, it's coming down his nose. And, you know, you're so worried about what everybody is thinking. But I like what you said. You have to trick yourself and be like, man, I got this.
Yeah.
You know, and just build that confidence real quick. So what I did is I started flipping into, man, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I'm about to have fun with this.
Yeah.
You know, and that kind of helps. I'm still nervous, but not as nervous.
Yeah.
But I think that's the first step of kind of, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but recognizing doubt is really just that, taking that first step and just really recognizing what are you lacking?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And why is it that you feel the way you feel? I actually did research
because
I was like, why do I sweat and put so much time and energy into stressing about doing a presentation or something like that, social anxiety. I looked it up.
Yeah.
And once I recognized that, then I'm like, okay, so what can I do to overcome that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I look at confidence and doubt as being instincts. Like they're instinctual, like, feelings. Because you think about it, confidence is something you don't really think about.
Mm-hmm.
It just, boom, there.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt, same thing. Yeah. Right? You don't tell yourself, ooh, like, I don't know if I should do that or, you know, maybe that's not a good idea. And the reason why I say instinct, because it's one of those things that's hard to train for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can practice and you can still every day go to do the same thing mm-hmm. that you do all day mm-hmm. and be nervous about it.
Yeah.
You can even trick yourself. I think what it comes down to is, like, riding a bike. Like, what eventually got you over the fear of riding the bike? Because all of us start out, some of us are geeked, right? But that first fall, you're like, I don't want to feel that again, right? So it's usually just like an instinct, like the practice comes in, you do it over and over and over again. And then all of a sudden, the doubt starts to wash away. But when it comes to a career, right, these are things that are complex. It's not just simply, I'm getting on a seat and I'm pedaling. Now it's like, okay, I have to convince you of something that I'm talking about, or at least raise a valid enough point, right, that I don't look like an idiot.
Yep,
exactly.
And I think what can help with building that confidence is realizing you're not an idiot. Most of the people we talk to are dumber than us.
Yeah.
And you know that because you listen to them talk, mm-hmm. and you probably tell yourself, like, yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, one secret thing that I've kind of learned with building my confidence too is, and I've kind of broke it down to I'm going to say it like this. Sometimes you can lack confidence in yourself because you know you. Mm-hmm. You know every lie you've ever told about yourself to yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to get this done. I'm going to be on time with this. I'm going to go for this job. I'm going to do this thing. And that actually destroys.
They'll never hear it.
Yeah. That actually destroys your confidence a little bit. So you want to start making a habit of keeping your own word to yourself when it comes to doing the things that you say you're going to do. I think confidence and courage a lot of times go hand in hand. Mm. Courage to me is doing things in spite of your fear.
Yeah.
So if you start doing that for yourself, it ain't got to be major things. It can be little stuff or even just calendar things. Like you tell yourself, I'm going to do this, and you start procrastinating on it, it actually destroys your confidence in yourself because now you don't believe you can do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a good way for building your confidence is just be true to yourself and keep your word to yourself. You know, so if you're going to apply for that job, if you're going to maybe step up and do, you know, go for a management position at your job, or you're going to try to land a deal or something, whatever career field you're in, don't procrastinate. A lot of people procrastinate and don't want to do certain things, but I don't know. That's just a little trick I kind of kept to myself because I've told myself a lot over the years. Like, oh, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna try this. I'm like, okay, it's just time to start doing it. And then I built my belief in myself a little bit more.
Y'all heard me talk about it, like off air and everything about like when people set resolutions and all these things like that. And I said, you'll never do it,
mm-hmm.
because the only time you'll do something is when you truly want it, mm-hmm. right? People will scheme for millions of dollars. They'll buy the lottery tickets to try to win millions of dollars because that's what they want to do. But they actually go out there and work for it. They don't want it. Same thing when people are trying to lose weight, right? I tried this diet. I tried this exercise. It's like, good, you tried. You didn't want it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds very blunt, but it's unfortunately that simple,
yeah.
because the mindset that you have is what's holding you back,
yeah.
from achieving things, right? And a lot of times that's in confidence,
yeah.
right? You tell yourself you want something, but how deeply do you yeah. want it? Because I know when I want something, I'll lose sleep,
yeah.
just trying to figure out, and I'm working through it. When I don't really want it, well, a couple of days will go by.
Yeah,
I'll be like, all right, maybe I'll do something a little here. You know, so yeah. like, having that confidence is hard to get. It is hard to get. And it's not, I wouldn't say impossible, right? It's just, I think before you build the confidence, I think you have to understand what your doubt is.
Right?
Like you said, understand who you are.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't say you can erase the doubt, right? Because like in court, they always say, can you prove it beyond a reasonable doubt? Right. Like you'll always have a little bit of doubt on something. Right. Unless you got a million people telling you. What do you guys think? There are so many famous people that get props for everything and they don't want to hear the props. Like I was listening to. I forget who it was. It was this divorce lawyer. I was watching him on YouTube. I don't remember the name, but he's famous for being a divorce lawyer. And he's like, I actually don't like being famous. I actually don't like all the accolades and all the stuff that come with it because it has an actual effect on him mentally, on how he's perceived and how he does his job. And so when he goes and does his job, he doesn't want to think about the outside
right.
pressure of things, right? Right. So even then, this man who's obviously highly successful and skilled at his job still has a little bit of doubt that something can go wrong. Yeah. In his delivery.
Yeah, y'all both touched on something, I think, especially with you, Christian, where you was like, you know, I think a lot of that doubt comes in when you know yourself mm-hmm. and you know how well that you've prepared for something or you didn't,
mm-hmm.
right? So I feel like a lot of who we are outside of our careers can kind of slip into our careers because we don't put in the time outside of work, right, in our day-to-day. Yeah. So then when it comes to actually trying to do something or implement something or present something within work, if you're not going 110% outside of work, you're not going to go to 110%
exactly.
when you got to do something at work. So I look at it like this, from an analogy of boxers, right? You can always tell when one boxer is more prepared than another.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say that, it's because one boxer puts in the time and the effort. He puts in the training. He's chiseled. He makes weight.
Studies tapes.
But not only that. And I'm going to go a little bit deeper. The other boxer, the opponent can look the same way. He can say he's training, he's doing it. They look phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But as the fight progresses, round 5, 6, you can kind of see where somebody's training and preparation really gives them benefit. And then, and that's outside of training. Mm-hmm. That goes outside of what are you doing in your personal life?
Yeah.
When you're not training for a fight, are you drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Are you smoking? Are you at strip clubs?
Yeah.
Doing stuff you ain't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Floyd Mayweather is a very good example.
Yeah.
That man don't smoke, drink, or anything.
Nothing.
And you can tell when he's fighting, whether it's round 1 or round 12, he's got stamina.
He ain't gassed.
He's still able to, you know, calculate his opponents and things like that. And that comes from preparation inside and outside of the boxing ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where I was going with this is like, I feel like in order to build some of that, erase some of that doubt and build some of that confidence, I think we have to kind of start implementing things within our personal life mm-hmm. that can kind of help us with that, erase some of that doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can carry over into our day-to-day at work.
Yeah.
I think they're one and one. I know a lot of people say you got to separate work and life, work-life balance. But a lot of times that stuff goes hand in hand.
Yeah, well, no, for sure they go hand in hand. Because, like, I don't know if you've ever heard about be, do, have, that saying. You become mm-hmm. something, then you're able to do something, and then you'll have the result that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So never heard of that. So I think for sure, because again, I think the B part is important, because if you suck at all your other habits in your life, it does carry over. It 100% does.
So the question I'm going to throw out to the group is, why do we think it is important? I know we've been talking about confidence and how doubt can kind of sneak in there and kind of cause you to lose that confidence. But why is it important for us, especially this is something we need to touch on too, as Black men, why is it so important for us to have confidence in the marketplace or in your career?
Because sometimes that's what gets you a job.
I was just about to say, you ain't going to get what you want if you ain't confident.
Yeah, sometimes you might not know everything you need to know, and they still give you the job because mm-hmm. that's that presence about you that they right. like.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, well, and I think first impressions means everything, too. So if you go into, like, an interview, right?
Yeah.
We talked about this off air a little bit. But when I'm interviewing somebody, you know, everybody's going to have that natural instinct to be a little bit nervous. But if somebody's confident, like, you see it, you asking the question, they're like, boom, I got this. Mm-hmm. You can see it, right? And I think that separates somebody from getting a job and not getting a job.
Yeah, especially in high-level positions and stuff, too. It definitely makes a difference. You definitely want to prepare for the interview. I think, like I said, depending on the level of the job, if you're just pushing carts or something, they don't really care about your confidence that much. But if you're going for a sales job, I know a lot of times when I interview, you got to do research on the company beforehand because they're going to ask you questions pertaining to maybe different software platforms mm-hmm. or you're going to do mock-up cold calls and different stuff like that. And that makes you real nervous. You know what I'm saying? When they do that. So if you're coming in stumbling over your words, so they don't expect you to do perfect, but you still got to have some sort of confidence. Make up a scenario if you don't know what you're talking about, but be confident about it. That's all they're looking for. But no, for sure, when it comes to trying to get a job, if you're not confident, you're not, 9 times out of 10, you're just not going to get it.
Well, you know, it's funny because I talked about it earlier. Like, you have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? Like, you have to want it. Yeah. People can tell you don't want it
yes.
based on your interviews yeah. and your confidence. Like, that's why when you approach things in life, like you have to tell yourself and know deep down in your heart, this is what you want, right? Because it's going to show. People can see it written on your face. Don't lie about it, because right, that's even worse. Of an impact on you. So like, you just gotta want it.
Yeah.
Right. If you don't want it enough, like, it's not the end of the day. Try something else.
Yeah, and I think that's what people, and it kind of falls back into doubt a little bit. The fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Like, even if you want something, if you just let that thought come into your head, like, oh, but what's gonna happen if I do? Yeah. If I do get that job, or if this does work. Yeah. Or if you know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh crap, then I actually have to perform. I sold them on myself. Now I actually got to perform.
Exactly, that's kind of like what you mentioned in a previous episode about imposter syndrome.
Yep.
Sometimes that don't go away, but I think that's just not to get too spiritual, the enemy trying to convince you. You ain't nothing. You ain't blah, blah, blah. You don't want to listen to that. But no, imposter syndrome is definitely real. It's like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, but
why am I here?
Yeah, but you just made a comment not to get too spiritual. I think it's important to get spiritual. I mean, especially if you're going into something that you're nervous about, don't have a lot of confidence, a lot of things you can do to kind of help yourself out. Just know that invite God into every aspect of your life, right?
Absolutely.
Say a prayer beforehand. Yeah. And just allow, ask him for some guidance, help you with your words a little bit.
For sure.
And it works. I did that before the lunch learner I talked about.
Yeah.
Because I was still nervous, but when I did that, that gave me a sense of confidence. I was able to be like, all right, let's go.
Let's go.
Because I knew he had my back.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's funny. I think our generation is just in a different situation, though, when it comes to the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. We're not given a lot of time to actually learn the skill.
Oh, stuff moving so fast.
Maybe. Oh, man. Think about it. We're so fast paced, mm-hmm, and things get faster. You look at our parents' generation, like, it was so much time for them to learn like something specific to a job or a trade. Like they had so much time to get confidence in it. I never once heard my dad talk about not being able to do something. Like, a man always had confidence to be able to do anything, but they also had way more time. Yeah. Like, you think about college you think about college and you think somebody really can learn everything they need to learn in 4 years. Right.
And sometimes even coming out of that, some of the stuff's outdated, especially in tech. I know y'all in tech.
Oh, yeah, it's outdated.
By the time you get done, stuff moves so quick. Absolutely. I've heard of that too a lot.
They change curriculums as you're in the program.
Yeah. That's crazy. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to. And then a lot of the stuff that they put in the curriculum, like in my case, going computer science, it was outdated. And then, I think I mentioned before, I had to actually go to the chairperson of the program. And he looked at what I had on my curriculum or whatever, and he looked at my courses. He was like, dude, we got to get you a class, get you a job. You know what I mean? Because it's like, this stuff that you're enrolled in is not going to help you out in the real world. But it's like, that was a good example, though. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have that confidence, because it takes, I'm a kid, you know what I'm saying, to go to the chairperson of the program.
Mm-hmm.
This dude is an older, distinguished gentleman, had his nice little sport jacket on, gold rings, watches, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, this dude got it made.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to step outside the box, be like, man, my what do you call them? Not counselors, but advisor. My advisor, college advisor, is not giving me the tools I need to succeed. Yeah. At least I don't feel that way.
Right.
So I went to him, and he looked at it. Let me take a look at this. You know, had his little glasses on.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, man. We got to put you in some courses, going to get you a job. But I had to have that confidence in myself to present it to him, my problem, as a kid at that time.
That's wild, because it all it ties into everything we've been talking about. How bad did you want? Do you want it?
Oh, yeah.
It just ties in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the other thing you said that I didn't even think about is you had a doubt. But I didn't even think this was going to pop up or even be something to think about, but you had a doubt about something that made you go look into something. Like, because sometimes I think we blindly trust something because we're like, this is going to get me where I go.
Very true.
And I'm not going to ask any questions. And then sometimes it doesn't work out that way, but it's like having, like I said, that instinct, right? Confidence, doubt.
Very true.
And you having the sense to be like, man, something off. And you go because you're recognizing something's not fully there. Someone's not fully present in what you need. That's kind of interesting. I just had to point that out.
Like, no, that's good. I didn't look at it like that because, yeah, I had that doubt in me. Like, what's going to happen if I finish this degree and I'm not prepared enough for the real world? And something was just telling me, I was like, I don't think the stuff that I'm learning right now, I just, for some reason, don't think I'm going to be able to take this information and succeed out there. And that's why I took the step. I was like, man, I got to talk to somebody. My advisor is just not helping.
Yeah.
And I'm going to the chairperson.
Yeah.
Right. All he going to do is like, nah, what's the worst he can say is like, I can't help you. You got to talk to your advisor.
Yeah.
And he did ask that question. He was like, who's your advisor? So-and-so, but he hasn't really been responsive. He was like, all right, well, come sit down. Right. He didn't tell me to make a meeting with like his assistant, like schedule a meeting with his assistant or anything like that. His door was open one day. I walked in there.
Yeah. Let's go.
And just was like, hey, this is what I'm experiencing. And it worked, though. That's
you the right. reason they got the locked doors now?
It's because of you.
Yeah.
I didn't even know who my chair was.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I was nervous, too. But at the same time, like you said, I had that doubt. Like, something ain't right.
Yeah.
And from that, I turned that doubt into confidence that I wanted to do something about what I was learning.
Right. But I think that's how serious you took school. Yeah, though. Like you wanted school to actually be a future for you.
Yep.
I like that phrase you said. What's the worst that can happen?
I caught that too. Yeah,
because that's where my confidence comes from. It's like a flow chart almost in my brain. Mm-hmm. Like if I don't talk to this client with excitement and get her in the mindset that I can handle her wedding, I'm not gonna get hired. I'm not gonna shoot the wedding. I'm not gonna make any money. Can't pay my bills. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I gotta kind of step up.
Just do it.
Yeah, and you also got to be prepared for, start thinking about that when you're approaching something, when you have that thought, like, what's the worst that can happen? Start thinking through that. Mm-hmm. What happens if it does go my way? Then what? Then
so what's the best that can happen?
Exactly. And then start preparing yourself for, like, when I met the chairperson. Like, what if he does ask me, have you talked to your advisor? Oh, yes, I tried.
Yeah.
But he wasn't responsive. And then he's like, oh, it puts it back on him. Yeah. Now, it's the ball's in his court whether he wants to address the advisor
mm-hmm.
or he wants to just go and help me right then and there. And he chose to help me right then and there.
You go ahead. Something too. I think it was last podcast, too. I did this a lot, too. It's not going to kill me.
It'll kill you.
At the end of the day, you're not going to die. If anything, you'll get more experience and do better.
Yeah, I mean,
next time.
If you think about all the stuff you've worried about over your life and how much has actually come true, it's minuscule. You worry about a bunch of stuff that don't never happen. It's like, Why do we do that? Like, for instance, with the chairman, like you, I don't know. I'm animated, so I'm just thinking in my head, like, the worst that could happen is he stands up with two Gatling guns or something and start eating up the door.
when you said he was clean and big and gold, I said, is he a pimp?
Exactly.
Gatling gun.
Sorry, I'm animated.
Yeah.
You said, is he a pimp?
I thought he was a pimp, man. I was like,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
What school you go to?
Exactly.
Right where?
Yeah. Now, sometimes that makes a difference, though, like going for, like, talking to managers and chairmen and stuff like that. It's like that in sales. You know, a lot of dudes dress sharp. A lot of them in good shape. A lot of them got good habits and stuff like that. So most of them are in shape. He used to have a manager. We call it Dan the Man. Dude was just straight chiseled guile from Street Fighter. He had the buzz cut and just ripped. And I actually did my interview with him, and he was my sales manager. I was a little intimidated at first. I was like, this dude. But he was the coolest dude ever, man. He wasn't like... Sales manager after him was horrible, but he was like, if you mess up on your calls and stumble, because they would listen in on your calls when you're doing them, and they try to like chime in and give you advice while you're on the call with a client, and the client couldn't hear him, but you could hear him,
mm-hmm.
and he was just real cool. Afterwards, like, yeah, man, that was good, but just try this next time, blah blah blah. Give you tips. Relax, I had another one. Yeah, the manager, you know, after him was just nasty, yelling at me, stuff like that. Oh, why'd you say that? Why didn't you tell me what I told you to, you know, to say and all the other stuff? But anyway, I'm going off in the weeds.
Nah, you good. You're good. I think this is a really good conversation. We can continue this for hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's the whole point of having these conversations, because we start to draw off each other's experience and offer ideas, things like that. But we're going to go ahead and start, just wrap this episode up. Good conversation, but... You know, as tradition or past episode, kind of want to just kind of go around the room a little bit and see what you guys are going to task yourselves with this week coming up and get yourselves out your comfort zone. So I'll start with you, Mike.
Yeah, hopefully I can just start feeling better and then start work on some projects for some contracts and then try to focus more on like this, as a business too. Giving more to this, more ideas, more whatever I can do.
Yeah.
Because ideas always are flowing, so I just don't want them to be sitting around doing nothing. Right. So,
yeah, I agree. I'm trying to give a lot more to this too. That's why I came up with the flow chart, so we can look at it from a business perspective versus just a YouTube.
Mm.
Like I really want to. I mean, we got potential to create jobs here too in the future, you know, and do a lot of stuff, do some big things with this. So taking this more serious, spend a lot more time with it. Still, obviously, factoring in the personal stuff I do with the comics and the books and stuff like
right.
that, but making this a main focus as well. So,
Lex, what about you?
This week, mostly just recovery. Like I said, it's been really, really chaotic, and I just gotta chill. I don't know, I've been a zombie this episode. It's not intentional. Doing my best, but just getting myself back to normal so I can get back to mission.
Yeah,
I understand. And you know, from my perspective, I think I want to focus more on being intentional about this. I think I'm very intentional about my work outside of this and what mm-hmm. I'm doing in my career, day to day career. But I think I want to shift some of that focus, especially this week. I'm not as busy at work.
Yeah,
so I want to kind of see where I can kind of dedicate some time towards this. How can I contribute more to this?
Certainly.
So that's what I want to focus on this week. But gentlemen, it's been great. Great conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I want to thank everybody for watching. Until next time, Ken and Cap, catch you on the next one.
Tune in.